Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Welcome once again to Reading the Word. Thank you, Brother Dearman, for that fine introduction. Thank you for spending some of your afternoon here with me, Justin Reed. We're continuing our study. We began last lesson on the Christian Olympics, because the Olympics, it's a big deal, happens every 4 years, and we as Christians, we're in a race, whether we realize it or not. And so as we're beginning our introductory material on the Christian Olympics, we're preparing to run. And we talked about how you have to have the proper attitude. You have to have the proper nutrition. You have to have the proper training. And we're ready to begin our lesson and close out at least the first third of this study on the Christian Olympics with a study of how we prepare to run. We must finally have the proper attire. You know, if I am going to run in a race and I am not properly attired, it's not going to work out well. I can't go run it in a suit and cowboy boots with spurs on. That just won't work. I need to go buy the proper clothing. I need to have the proper shoes. Friends, we must have the proper attire as Christians as well to begin the race. In Matthew 22, the story of the wedding feast, Jesus Christ says, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which did not have the wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. And the king said unto the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. By the way, I'm reading from the King James translation of God's holy word. So there in that story, the people that weren't attired, they were cast out. They weren't attired properly. Revelation 7 and verse 14, I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. They've washed their robes, and they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Of course, what kind of garments are we wearing? Talking about Jesus Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27, Paul says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, he says, you've put on Christ. The idea there behind that is literally putting on Christ as you're wearing a garment. Oh, and also we need the right shoes, Ephesians 6 and verse 15, and your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We must have on the right attire. And in order to truly put on Christ, we must confess him as as the Son of God and be baptized. Romans 10 and 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Also 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, as I'm flipping there in my Bible, we must put on Christ in baptism. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We must be willing to serve Christ. Romans 6, arguably my favorite passage in the book of Romans. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over us. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we need to put on Christ also. That's the great cry from Acts chapter 2, verse 37. They say, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? And then verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, in every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Acts 22:16, Ananias tells Saul of Tarsus, and now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. So as we review our first part of our study on the Christian Olympics, what must we do in order to prepare to run the Christian race? First, we must have the proper attitude, here with a view toward obedience. Second, we must take the proper nutrition, that's believing in Jesus and His teaching. Third, we must engage in proper training, that's repenting of our sins, that's changing our lives. And fourthly, we must wear the proper attire, we must put on Christ in baptism. And so with that, we will conclude the first part of our study. We're just going to keep going, though, because we're just getting our appetites whetted, if you will. And so we transition from preparing to run. The second main point in this study is now we're going to run the race. We have been preparing. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 will serve as our lesson text for this. Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain." We spoke in our previous lessons about preparing to run, the proper attitude, nutrition, training, and attire. Once we have prepared to run the race, friends, we must do it. We must run. We can't just let all that preparatory work, if you will, go to waste. We must prepare to run. So what do we gain from running a race? Well, running is good for your exercise. It's good for good health. You can get personal satisfaction from doing it. And people compete in races and marathons to win a prize. Friends, the prize for the Christian is so much greater than any earthly prize that one may win. So what do we need to do when we run the Christian race? What must we do when we run this Christian race? Since I work in radio and I preach, we're going to pause right here. Take a quick 30-second break. Brother Jim Dearman's going to tell you information about Wood. We'd love to have you as a visitor at one of our services. We'll come back on the other side to figure out what we must do to run the race here on Reading the Word with Justin Reed.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you for sticking around. We are back to Reading the Word, and as promised, we're talking about running the Christian race. What must we do to run the Christian race? Number one, we must follow the rules. You know, those who participate in races, they must follow the rules. You have to start at the right time. You have to stay within the prescribed boundaries of the course. You cannot cheat. You cannot use performance-enhancing drugs. You cannot even let your grandmother, although you love her to the end of the world, you can't hop in her car or her Jeep or her van and have her drop you off at the finish line, because, friends, that just simply won't work, because that's illegal. The rules say you can't have assistance like that. Now, when we talk spiritually speaking, we have rules that we must follow in our Christian race as well. We must follow the rules. First and foremost, 2 Timothy 2:5. The Bible says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, he must strive lawfully," or he must follow the law, follow the rules. Jesus says, John 14:15, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Also 1 John 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments, they're not grievous." In other words, they're not too difficult for us. So we must follow the rules. What's rule number one? And rule number two, you may be asking, Jesus answers that. Matthew 26:36-40. "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love thy neighbor, or love the Lord thy God, and then love thy neighbor. Friends, you know, there are some rules of morality. I'm not going to read the entirety of the Ten Commandments, but those are found in Exodus 20. And that's what I was just reading Jesus Christ quoting from. We think about the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19-21. Paul says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, strife, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelrings, and such likes, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Those are the works of the flesh, but Paul continues with the fruit of the Spirit. But, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, he says, there is no law. And Peter adds, the Christian graces, or I call it the climbing the ladder, as a Christian. And beside all this, 2 Peter 1:5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So those are the rules of morality. The Ten Commandments, brought forward 9 of them in the New Testament. The only one that's not: remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We now worship on Sunday. We looked at the works of the flesh, don't do those. Fruit of the Spirit, do those. And also these Christian graces. But friends, there are also some rules for spirituality. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These are the Berean brethren, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Friends, they studied God's word. That's what Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also Psalm 1:2. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Friends, the rules of spirituality: 1, study God's word. 2, pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to pray everywhere, always, and not to faint. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Friends, we study God's word, we pray. We also have to remember the Lord upon the first day of the week, Acts 20:7. When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. He continued his speech until midnight. Also 1 Corinthians 11:23-27. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, Paul says, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it, said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and shall drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." So we study God's word, we pray, we remember the Lord by partaking of the Lord's Supper. We also sing praises. Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas are there at midnight. They prayed and they sang praises to God, and the prisoners that were around them heard them. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He doesn't say with a piano, a banjo, or an organ. He says singing in your hearts. That's not my opinion. That's the word of God. And Hebrews 13:15, therefore, by him, let us offer the sacrifice of God, praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We study God's word, pray, remember the Lord, sing praises, and lastly, we give to God. 1 Corinthians 6:1-2. Now concerning, Paul says, the collection for the saints, I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. that there be no gatherings when I come. And 2 Corinthians 9, 6-7, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Friends, those are our rules of spirituality, and we could add many more, but suffice it to say that we must observe all things, Matthew 18:18-20. Jesus says, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So friends, as we are running the race, first and foremost, we must follow the rules. And if we don't, we'll be lost. We're going to have to stop here. I hope you'll join us next time. We're going to look to our example as we continue studying about the Christian Olympics here on Reading the Word. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.